Hare Krishna. So today's verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, text number 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So actually I was going to say this at the end, but I'll just say this in the beginning. This verse also is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And has anyone read the purport already? No? Okay. Then I guess we'll do this part after we read the purport. Okay. Anyone want to go ahead with the Sanskrit?
Hey, thanks. It's kind of a weird
message. Okay. I'll try it then. Okay, go ahead. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam. Katam ritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushita sayam. Vrajanti tach charana saro ruhantikam. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam. Katam ritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushita shayam. Rajanti tach charana saro ruhantikam. Pibanti te ye bhagavata atmanasatam. Katam ritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushitam. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam. Katam ritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushita sayam. Vrajanti tach charana saro ruhantikam. Anyone else? No. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam. Katam ritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushita shayam. Vrajanti tach charana saro ruhantikam. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam. Katam ritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushita shayam. Vrajanti tach charana saro ruhantikam. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam. Katam ritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushita shayam. Vrajanti tach charana sarodhanti kam. Okay. Pibanti. Who drink? Yay, those Bhagavata of the personality of Godhead. Atmana of the most dear. Satam of devotees. Katamritam, the nectar of the messages. Shravanaputeshu, within the ear holes. Sambritam, fully filled. Punanti, purified. Te, there. Vishaya, material enjoyment. Vidushita, ashayam, polluted aim of life. Vrajanti, do go back. Tat, the Lord's. Charana, feet. Sarodhantikam, near the lotus. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. So anyone want to take little turns reading the purport, parts of the purport? Can go around. Let's start over here. Start somewhere.
The sufferings of human society are due to a polluted aim of life, namely lording it over the material resources. The more human society engages in the exploitation of undeveloped material resources for sense gratification, the more it will be entrapped by the illusory material energy of the Lord, and thus the distress of the world will be intensified instead of diminished. The human necessities of life are fully supplied by the Lord in the shape of food grains, milk, fruit, wood, stone, sugar, silk, jewels, cotton, salt, water, vegetables, etc., in sufficient quantity to feed and care for the human race of the world, as well as the living beings on each and every planet within the universe. The supply source is complete, and only a little energy by the human being is required to get his necessities into the proper channel. There is no need of machines and tools or huge steel plants for artificially creating comforts of life. Life is never made comfortable by artificial needs, but by plain living and high thinking.
Okay, let's stop right there for a minute, because that's a complete concept right here. Am I loud enough? Is it all right? Okay. So that's a complete concept right there. Prabhupada's speaking about ecology. He's ahead of his time. And now we know about ecology. And how many of you have heard of deep ecology? And then there's, of course, what Prabhupada is speaking of here is spiritual ecology. So what is ecology in general, what people talk about every day? Concern over the environment and nature in a general way. I think also there's a lot of study, biology and ecology going together, so that they're trying to figure out how humans can get the most out of the material nature, the most out of the resources. And so that's what Prabhupada is speaking on here. Even that ecology, they're still exploiting to a certain extent, greater or lesser degrees. They're exploiting the resources of Mother Nature. And so it depends on how they do it. And then there's deep ecology. Someone would like to explain that? That's another modern concept. In a quick way, it's how they believe that let's go deeper into ecology and understand that humans have no right. Humans have just as much right. The animals have just as much right. Everyone's on equal terms. And humans have no right to exploit the resources except for the very bare necessities, which is somewhat what Prabhupada is saying here. Take what you need and leave the rest. You don't need big you know, machines, artificial means. You don't need slaughterhouses. You don't need big factories to manipulate so much of the trees and other things. So just take what you need in a simple way and have simple living. So that's kind of going along with deep ecology, although they have many other ideas that may not go along with spiritual life. But what would be the difference between those, both the ecology, deep ecology, and spiritual ecology? What is the main difference? Can anyone come up with thinking? And if you contemplate on it a little bit, we know you know. If no one else knows, then you can say. Yes, yeah, that everything is used for him. So even we take what we need, but then we also use it for him and we offer it to him. So that would be, that's spiritual ecology. Using the minimum resources, keeping life simple, and offering it to Krishna, offering all of that. Is that what you were going to say, or any other insights? Of course, that brings the Lord in. Using it for the highest good, the greatest good. For the benefit of the summum bonum, the whole, rather, it's the most holistic way of ecology, and that's what Prabhupada's talking here. So any other thoughts on that, or we'll go on with the purport? Anyone else have any other thoughts? Go ahead, then, someone else read.
The highest perfectional thinking for human society is suggested here by Sukadev Goswami, namely, sufficiently hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. For men in this age of Kali, when they have lost the perfect vision of life, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight by which to see the real path. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has commented on the Kathamritam mentioned in this verse and has indicated Srimad Bhagavatam to be the nectarian message of the personality of Godhead. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside, and the people in general in all parts of the world will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss.
For a pure devotee of the Lord, any topics in relation with his name, fame, quality, entourage, etc., are all pleasing, and because such topics have been approved by great devotees like Narada, Hanuman, Nanda Maharaj, and other inhabitants of Vrindavan, certainly such messages are transcendental and pleasing to the heart and soul. And by the constant hearing of the messages of the Bhagavad Gita, and later of Srimad Bhagavatam, one is assured herein by Srila Sukadev Goswami that he will reach the personality of Godhead and render him transcendental loving service in the spiritual planet of the name Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower.
Hari Bol. Just see how wonderfully Prabhupada, he's talking first about the you know, how to live simple, and then he mentions high thinking, and then immediately he goes into Srimad Bhagavatam, the highest thinking for any society. Go ahead. Thus
by the process of bhakti yoga directly accepted, as suggested in this verse, by sufficient hearing of the transcendental message of the Lord, the material contamination is directly eliminated without once attempting to contemplate the impersonal virat conception of the Lord. And by practicing bhakti yoga, if the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo-devotee. For such an imposter, there is no remedy for being freed from material entanglement.
Jai. So as I was saying before, I think it'll be more auspicious to bring this part up in the beginning, is how Prabhupada is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam in this verse, because we're talking about hearing and how hearing will reframe our goal of life. So Srimad Bhagavatam, if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it's promising us the highest goal, going back to Godhead right here. He's promising that. And how is it glorifying Bhagavatam? What is it referring Bhagavatam as? Anyone remember in the purport? Mm-hmm. Yes. It said here, torchlight. And there is another thing that it refers Srimad Bhagavatam to. Anyone else remember that?
It is the nectarian message.
Yes, the nectarian message. These things are just so important to hear. It's very poetic, actually. And then we can actually start feeling like we develop a relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam. When we hear these things and remember, what is it referring to? It's nectarian message. It's a torchlight. And then from other parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, does anyone know what else describes Srimad Bhagavatam? From any other parts of Srimad Bhagavatam?
Ripened fruit.
The ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. It's the ripened fruit. When fruit is ripe, it's what? Sweet and ready for anyone to relish. And in the old Bhagavatam, the first one that Prabhupada wrote, many times his English was, you could say his English was not right, but actually I liked it better because it was much more poetic. It was like an old English kind of. And he says, readily swallowable nectarian juice. Readily swallowable nectarian juice. So I always liked that. And any other things you can come up with real quick?
The literary incarnation.
Very nice. Yes, the literary incarnation of Godhead. Yep. And anything else?
Amala Purana.
And that is?
Spotless.
Spotless like the moon. Well, the moon has spots, but so it's even better than the moon. More soothing than millions of moons. And brilliant as the sun, right? Brilliant as the sun, and anyone else? The cream of the crop, the cream of knowledge. So anyway, I just thought that would be nice to remember what we're doing here. We're very fortunate. So we are talking, the topic for today's class is how hearing reframes our goals. So first I want to talk a little bit about goals. Some people go through life actually with no goals. How many of you started out in life when you were young? Well, you are young, but maybe a little younger, with not really thinking of a goal, just going, you know, well, I have to go to school, so I go to school. I have to do this. We just expect that, and then we're going to go to high school, and then we're going to go to college, and then we're going to get married and have kids, and then we're going to, you know. And that's just the way life is. And at some point, I'll figure out if I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer or an Indian chief, right? Because that's, you know, what we kind of learned. And whatever life throws at us, we kind of react to it rather than creating our life, rather than fixing a goal. Not many of us learn that at a young age, that we should fix a goal in our heart and in our mind. What is your goal, your personal goal? And, of course, the best thing to offer yourself as a goal is the best thing that you've got, the greatest gift that you've gotten from God. What is your talent? What is your ability? How does your intelligence work? You know, some are artists. Some are, you know, gardeners. Some are scientists. Some are lawyers. They are brilliant at debate. And so whatever is your gift from God, you utilize that and you offer that back to him. And that is simple living, high thinking. So they say one who doesn't stand for anything, if you don't choose a goal in your life, then you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So we don't want to be fallen in any sense. So having no goal is something like having a little bit of attention deficit disorder. And I think spiritually we all have a little bit of that, because it's kind of like you may even want to do something, but so many things distract you along the way because your goal is not fixed. So that fixed goal, what does it take to fix your goal. Determination. Anyone else? Discipline. Disciple. Discipline. Yes. Yes.
Guidance.
Guidance, which is very similar to, yeah.
Setting a realistic goal.
Wow, thank you. That's very, intelligent, because sometimes we may set such a high goal and then we can't reach it in 2 days and we change it or, you know, disregard it or just start getting depressed. Yes? Being specific. Yes, that's good. Focusing. What is it that I want to achieve? Oh, time element, that helps.
I want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime.
is that realistic? By mercy, it's realistic. It becomes realistic by mercy, through the mercy. Like Prabhupada is saying here, you do this, it's going to happen. And because he is who he is, Jagat Guru, amazing, Krishna has to back him up. God has to back him up. Srila Prabhupada is our spiritual master, and he is a great saint by his actions, by his heart, by his words, by his deeds, by what he offered us. And so when he says something, Krishna backs it up. I'm counting on that. There's a little story about Arjuna. Arjuna was a great archer, and he could, you know, when he threw his arrow, it always hit the target. And he was, as a student, young student, he was studying under Drona, who was his teacher. And Drona had several students lined up, and he asked each one of them, okay, everyone, aim at your target. And then before you shoot, what do you see? And everyone's go, I see the target. And then they go, okay, what else do you see? I see that one of the disciples would say, I see the target, I see you standing there, and I see the tree behind the target. And you go, okay, next, what do you see? And he went like that. And then finally you got to Arjuna and said, what do you see? And he says, I see the target. I see the eye of the target. The eye of the target. And he goes, what else do you see? Do you see the tree? No, I see the eye of the target. Do you see me standing there? No, I see the eye of the target. Then shoot. So that's Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, which we were reading about a couple of weeks ago. That determined, focused on, you said, something specific, you know, and reasonable, and all of those things that we talked about. So, and it should be very personal as well, as I said. Something that is your gift coming from Krishna, from the Lord in your heart. What is your gift that you have that you can offer back to him? Yes.
It also helps to set short-term goals and then eventually towards a long-term goal, because if you can tackle the short-term ones, then eventually you'll...
Very good. Little steps, right? Little steps up towards that. That's very good. And people can discuss that with friends or with, you know, someone who knows a little more, who's been there and is achieving some of those goals that you are looking for. You ask them. That's discipleship. That's how you learn. So that's good. Little steps. All right. Let's talk about hearing, because we're talking about how hearing reframes our goals. Okay. There's different kinds of hearing. An animal hears. What is it when an animal hears? Does he think much, or does he mainly just react? And does he hear? Oh, what do they really mean by that? I mean, they said it kind of harshly, but are they really angry at me? No, he hears an angry voice and he immediately cowers or gets very defensive, depending on his nature. So he just reacts. Or if he hears someone go, oh, what? I know when I'm near like if an animal is growling or something, I'll just go, oh, nice little doggy, wag your tail, and a high little voice, and they kind of just go, oh, well, she's not, you know, I don't have to be defensive with her, so then they start wagging their tail most of the time. And then plants and water, do they hear? Anyone know about that? They do. they do here. They've had studies where you say nice things to plants and nice things to water, and it grows better. The water crystallizes into beautiful, there's a book about that. The water will crystallize into beautiful patterns when you say, oh, beautiful water, you know. So imagine our body is made up of what? How much water? 70% water. So if we say something nice to someone, you know, you have a smiling face, you look pleasant today, oh, you know, you look happy, you look healthy, you know. Do you ever, anyone ever tell you sometimes you're feeling okay and someone goes, oh my God, you look so tired, then right away, how do you feel? Yeah, you kind of go, oh, I guess I'm kind of tired, you know. It's very effective, you know, because we hear this, and the vibration, even though the plant doesn't have ears, the water doesn't have ears, it receives the vibration and it has some life in it. So that life reacts to the vibration is what's happening. Because even a deaf person can hear vibration. Even an unconscious person will hear the vibrate, will feel the vibration of the sound. And that's why progressed doctors and nurses will tell you to please speak to an unconscious person, because they can feel. They may not, their brain cells may not be registering exactly the details of the words and formulating what you're saying, you know, but they can feel the vibration of that you're offering love, you're offering comfort, you know. So that's very important. And then when they've yelled at water and called it names, bad names, and, you know, kind of gave negative vibes to the water and plants, they shrivel up and the water crystallizes into ugly. They've taken pictures of it. And the water crystallizes into ugly things. That's why when we drink water, what do we think? Is the pure taste of, Krishna's the pure taste of this water. Say, oh, this water, hey, water. You're the pure taste of Krishna. You've got Krishna in you. It's so wonderful. And then you'll benefit too. So what to speak of speaking with other people, how we should utilize our words, be very careful how we speak. Even if we have to instruct someone something, or even if we're upset with them, how we say it is so important, you know. You know, we could say, you know, Prabhu, you know, you should know better, take your shoes off, you know. Or we say, Prabhu, you know better, take your shoes off. Makes a big difference. Okay, let's go on. Then there's also hearing in the modes, hearing the different modes of nature, and especially in music, people play healing music. What is healing music that they usually like to play? Instrumental, classical, Indian classic, only Indian classic. No, Bach, Beethoven, these people were somewhat God conscious to a certain degree at that time. They created the Renaissance, after all. It was around the time Lord Chaitanya was about to appear or appearing. So that was a Renaissance coming, and all these people took birth just to uplift the consciousness of the world through music and other things. So contrary to popular song, rock and roll doesn't soothe the soul. You all know that one. No, they still play it. Come on, those are classics. So, the classical music will soothe. Does it soothe the soul? Or does it just soothe the mind? Yes, it would soothe the mind, which can get close to the soul if someone is very contemplative. But, yeah, it would more soothe the mind. Then what style of music soothes the soul? A heavy kirtan, right? Yeah. With lots of rhythm. Okay. So this purport, at the end of this purport, Prabhupada all of a sudden brings up the Virata conception. And he says, through the process of bhakti yoga, directly accepted, sufficient hearing of the transcendental message, the material contamination is directly eliminated without one's attempting to contemplate on the impersonal Virata conception of the Lord. Now he brings this up. This is the last purport in this chapter. He doesn't just bring it up random. He's bringing it up because in the very first purport of this chapter. It's talking about Lord Brahma and how he appeared on the lotus flower, and he arose out of his slumber, his forgetfulness of who he was, by contemplating on the Virata conception. The Virata Rupa is the universal form. So the universal form of God. God is everywhere. So you could say the sun and the moon are like the eyes of the Lord, and the grass and the trees are like the hairs on his body. And there's so many different descriptions of how the whole universe is actually Krishna. So one can contemplate on that and achieve purification of his goals, purification of his mind. But here, Prabhupada is saying, all you need is Srimad Bhagavatam, and that will get you there right away. So that's a very important point. People can still do that. Okay, when we're sleeping and our aim of life is polluted, it keeps saying when the aim of life is polluted, how is it polluted? We're in a sleep. It's explained we're in a sleep, we're forgetful. What are we forgetting? Krishna, yeah. And we're forgetting the absolute truth. And anything else? Our supreme occupation. We're forgetting our identity, who we are, why we're here, right? Our function. We forget our function. And we think, oh, I'm just here, eat, sleep, go to school, get married, you know, and procreate. And so then we think that's our only function. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is helping us to understand our true identity. And most important, we think that we are the Lord of all we survey, right? We think that that's what it's explained here. That concept is what is polluting our being. When we think we are the controllers, we can dominate and control and exploit anyone, other races, other genders, anyone who's weaker than us, the resources of material energy. So when we think we can do that, that is called polluted consciousness. When we think we can exploit anyone, that I'm the controller, it's all my way or the highway, that is the consciousness that we want to purify as devotees. We want to purify that consciousness. So that's why they say when someone wakes up, how many of you before you were devotees, how many of you had the thought of, wait a minute, what am I doing? Who am I? Why am I here in this world? You might look up at the stars. How many? Come on. I mean, I did, you know? Yeah, good. Conscious living beings waking up already. You're starting to wake up. You're, you know, coming out of your slumber. What is going on here? What is life all about? What is the real truth here? So this is important. Okay, and Krishna says about remembrance and forgetfulness. What does he say? Anyone know?
He's the source of them.
He's the source of both. I'm sitting in the heart, and I am the source of remembrance and forgetfulness. And okay, so we want to hear to clear. We can think of that. I want to hear to clear my consciousness, clear myself, reframe my goals. Okay, what happens when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam? What happens when we hear absolute truth? What happens when we hear transcendental literatures? What happens to us? Yes, in general, we become purified. What else happens? Any thoughts? What happens to you when you hear? You gain more attraction, yes, for the whole process, yes?
The knots in the heart, these are material knots.
Wow, okay, the knots get unwound, right? You feel relief, because what are the knots?
The material attachments.
Attachments, desires, worries, you know, when we have too much material desire and then they're not satisfied, so we become very distraught and we have anger and fear, right? So those things become unknotted, right? And dissolve. So then we feel what? Refreshed, happy. Okay. Anything else? What happens when we hear?
Our goals in life might change.
Oh, very good. We reframe our goals. Yes. We reframe our goals. Maybe before I thought, you know, I was going to, you know, do something and, you know, be a biologist and exploit the resources of material energy for the benefit of humankind. And then I realized I'd become a little more sensitive and I thought, wait a minute, I don't want to do it on that extent. I'll do it on this extent and still use my intelligence. So you reframe a goal. Yes? Yes, wow, I didn't come from apes, but I still like bananas. But now I'll offer them to Krishna. Yes, so you can feel some, like, I have a higher focus in life. More self-esteem, beautiful. That's wonderful. As a devotee, she's feeling from hearing all who we are. We're spirit soul. We're part of Krishna. We get to, you know, go to the lotus planet of Goloka Vrindavan eventually, then that's a very beautiful thing. I get to go there. Krishna loves me. He cares. He's going to guide me there. Prabhupada's going to guide me there. They care. It's personal. That's beautiful. Anything else? Anyone else? Realizations? Personal confessions? You get a distaste. So these are also the nine processes at Ruchi, sadhu sangha, you know, all these things. This is the process of all of that happens. The faith comes, the service, and what is the thread? The steadiness, right? All that starts happening. There's nine processes or results of from hearing of practicing devotional service. Then eventually you love God and you actually develop pure love for God. Prema. So what is the thread? What is a thread that has to go through all of those things? A practical thing that has to happen in order to speed up that process. Come on. Back there somewhere, anyone? Here? What would be a thread that would speed up that process?
Regulated hearing.
That's something. Go ahead.
Chanting the specified number of rounds.
Okay, well, that's sadhana, yeah, doing sadhana. Anyone else? Yes?
Association of purified souls.
Yes, that's part of it, is association, yeah. But what has to happen, if you want to really speed it up, something in the heart.
Service?
Oh, that's also part of one of the things, but we want to speed up that whole process. Okay, a surrendered heart, okay? Surrendered, and also my word was going to be grateful, a grateful heart, because what you have is so awesome. What we're hearing is so awesome. It's the cream. It's the torchlight. You know, it's the sun. It's you know, more spotless than the moon. So this is so awesome, you can't help but develop gratitude, and that thread of gratitude, the more gratitude you have, that process will speed up. You'll get to your goals quicker. So keep that in mind when you start framing your goals. Everyone should probably, maybe for homework, draw a little frame and start putting your goals, like I said, contemplate, meditate, think. What is the gift that Krishna gave me that I want to offer back to him? What goal will I give him, you know, what, and myself and the world? Because devotees always think of everyone else as well. And that's also a sign of advancement, the more you think of others. Because here it's saying the polluted consciousness is thinking that you're the controller. It's all about you, right? It has to be my way. Otherwise, I become upset. So the opposite of that is thinking of others, serving others. I'm not the master. I'm not the controller. I'm not the lord of all I survey. I'm the servant of everyone. And even the greatest souls, how advanced they are, the most Mahabhagavat gurus, they're actually thinking they are the servants of everyone. And therefore, they will perform sacrifices for the benefits of everyone else. Like the sages of Naimisharanya, they went to that forest. And how long?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. They sat in a forest and just heard, and asked questions and contemplated and assimilated. Okay? So, let's see. Yeah, assimilating the process. We can hear with our heart. We can hear with our ears. We can hear with an attitude of?
Gratitude.
Oh, good. Okay, attitude. I was going to say surrender again. Now you said gratitude. Good. Attitude of gratitude and attitude of surrender. Because we're submitting ourselves to the truth. We're submitting ourselves when we're chanting, when we're hearing, when we're speaking, we're submitting ourselves. We're putting ourselves out there and saying, this is little me, Krishna, and here I am submitting myself to what you will inspire. Whatever you give, I want to relish and take that and use it for the highest good. So let's see. And that's how hearing can become solidified. Prabhupada says, there's a statement somewhere I was reading. It says, by chanting, the hearing becomes solidified. By chanting. And speaking, yes.
So you're talking about a process that seems to require a lot of care and time and determination. But in order to fix that goal, that at least for most of us here is to become a little bit more Krishna conscious, if not pure devotees by the end of this lifetime, it does require for you to know what needs to get out of, or what you need to get away from in order to be more fixed in that goal. But how can we find like that balance? Like, you don't want to stop talking to all your friends because now they're not interested in your goal, you know? So how do you kind of are careful not to become fanatical.
Yes.
And also to still have some type of bridge to reality, but also cultivate your goal.
Okay. I think that would be a very individual thing, because I like what you're asking. How does one keep your goal focused? And it should be, you know, it's a focused, steadily focused goal, and at the same time open yourself up to other people, friends, life. You go to school, you have to deal with different things, your parents or other people in the world, and how do you do that without being fanatical? That's very nice. So remembering, I was going to address that. That's good. That we fix our goal. But at the same time, doesn't mean that we're not broad-minded. And like Maharaj said last week, when one young boy asked a question about something like the Shastras say something and how much we follow it, you know, how much do we follow it? And he said, you know, the doctrine is one thing and we follow it, but we always remember how the saints explain it. Because the saints are more, you could say, compassionate and more broad-minded in a sense, that they will explain it in a broad-minded way, maybe in different languages. So one has to become expert, kind of. That's another thing that you have to do. So just being conscious, mindful. You know, you want to give Krishna, but you don't want to smack people over the heads with it. So speak in their language. Give them what, you know, if someone can only... Maybe they can't take much, then they can take prasadam. You know, they can't take much hearing. They might be very challenging for anything that's religious or anything that's, you know, but this is not a religion. See, it depends on how we view what we're doing. We didn't join a religion. I never thought I was joining a religion. I was hearing that this absolute knowledge, and I thought, wow, I'm just amazed. I have to do this because it is the truth. And I was so innocent and young, and I thought that anyone who heard this knowledge was automatically going to just pick it up and come. I thought it was like a no-brainer. You know, after I was a devotee for just a few weeks, I saw a sign, and it said, you know, hamburgers, 10 cents or something. And I looked, and I went, they're still doing that out there? Like, I thought the whole world, I thought this was something that just opened up, and anyone who hears, you're just like automatically, wow, you know? So it wasn't an Indian philosophy. It is not, you know? And it isn't a religion, you know? It's the broad absolute truth, the broad absolute consciousness. It's the summum bonum of the world, and that's what Prabhupada explains. And that's another description of Bhagavatam, summum bonum, the greatest good. Yes, is that helpful? And we can talk more about that later, but like more specific. But
yeah, it's a science. But what I wanted to say, you were talking about the effects of sound vibration on water.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that experiment, and I think you know, the ultimate one would be, you know, the difference between boga and prasada. Somebody ought to do that, you know.
Yeah, then it becomes transcendental.
Right.
Then that water is not just happy. It's not just happy water.
Right. If they could
not just in the mode of goodness, happy.
Yeah, if they could somehow, you know, document that there's a difference between before and after you offer the boga.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Imagine. That would be wonderful. Maybe a devotee scientist could do that. Take pictures. I think it's just this guy who took pictures, like some kind of special camera for photography or something, because he got to magnify it so many times to see the crystals in the water, how they form, because it's still water, you know? Yeah.
In regards to that, I know somebody who knows another person who actually did some sort of experiment like that. I don't know exactly what they did, but they said that the sun has the highest vibration of anything.
Yes. So even the cauliflowers and the apple trees, you know, apples can go back to Godhead or become so purified. What to speak of us? What to speak of, you know, our human bodies? And we can get purified like this. So it's a great thing. Any other questions or comments?
Would you mind reading those last two or three sentences?
About the Virata? Oh, okay, no, there is another concept here, actually. And just Prabhupada throws this in right at the very last. By practicing bhakti yoga, if the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo-devotee. For such an imposter, there is no remedy for being freed from material entanglement. So what does Prabhupada mean here? That's kind of scary. So you know, we're performing bhakti yoga, but if you don't become purified from material contamination, then you're a pseudo devotee. That's what he's saying. So can anyone elaborate on this a little bit? Because that's kind of pretty. He just throws that in there at the end, right? Anyone? Yes. Can you speak louder?
He externally dresses like a devotee, but then he's actually doing it to collect wealth, women, and followers.
Okay, so he's looking for something else. So the whole thing is, what is your motive? What is your intention? What is your goal? What is your framework here? You know, what is your aim? That would be the thing. If your aim is to just, I can't function in the regular world because no one likes me, and so I will become a big leader of this religious organization and then, you know, be the controller, If that's your goal, then it's pseudo bhakti. So. Because that's why we were talking about what is in the heart and what is the goal. An intention is a very intention is a very important part of bhakti yoga. Because what is bhakti yoga? Bhakti is all about the heart. So intention is coming in the heart. And that's a very important part of our whole process. Where is your heart at? Again, that gratitude, if we have that, then it speeds up the process. If we don't have gratitude, we can just follow the sadhana, follow everything to the T. But we won't make as rapid progress if we have more gratitude and love for Krishna in our heart. Gratitude is the beginning of love. If I'm grateful to someone, I start to show them affection and love. The more I know them, the more affection I show them, the more love I have for them, right? If someone just walks up to you and they don't know you very well, but or just like, I don't know you very well, but you've made some brilliant comments today. So I'm appreciating that. I'm grateful. And so now we can start getting to know each other a little more and develop even a more, you know, you could say more, you know, bonded relationship, a more connection. And that's what bhakti is all about, bonding with the Lord, right? And using our heart and our intelligence. So when we hear, many people hear and they use their intelligence, but they're not using their heart. So they're getting it and they can speak very eloquently and they can, you know, maybe be very scholarly and memorize thousands of verses. But then when push comes to shove and some difficulty comes in their life, why is Krishna giving me difficulty? I know so much. You know, that's like the Brahmin and the cobbler. We did that play, you know. And the cobbler, we had Vishy do the Brahmin, you know. The Brahmin is this puffed up. He knows so much. He goes, I'm following everything to the T. So why am I not going back to God? Why is this cobbler, he is so sinful, you know. But yet the cobbler, even though he wasn't able to practice sadhana bhakti, but he was, in his heart, he was sincere. Yes. No, thank you. Yes, mantra time. Hare Krishna. To bless the food and to remember who we are.